Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die.
Well, let me show you a view from on top of a mountain. Looks kind of nice, doesn't it? You know, a bit sort of foggy, cloudy. But it's a view from some mountain ranges in Bolivia, South America. I mean, who wouldn't want to go for a nice drive to a mountain lookout like that? Except here's the thing. To get there, you have to travel up a road which has an official Spanish-sounding name, but its nickname is Death Road. And here's a shot of Death Road. Just taking the reality of that. It's shocking, isn't it? Is a goat track really take into account rain and fog and mudslides? Somewhere between 200 and 300 people die every year on Death Road. What a tragedy. And people keep travelling on Death Road. Barely any protection. No way could you call that safe. If you said to me, "Do you want to go for a look up on that mountain?" I would say, "I'll pass, thank you. Death Road is not for me." Now, I tell you that story because it's Vision Sunday, and today is about the future and upcoming prospects and what might be new, sort of exciting for Christ Central. But I want to frame it in terms of death. You could say, see, Jesus went on Death Road. To follow Jesus, we are called to travel down Death Road. As a church, together we're called to travel down Death Road. And yet the destination is worth it. The destination is so very worth it. The destination is life. And resurrection, and fruitfulness, and growth. It's just that there's no other way of getting there except through death. Now, we've just read from John's Gospel, the Apostle John's biography of Jesus. Now, let's just have a look at how this moment begins again. We just read it there, but have a look. We're going to talk about it in terms of the Greeks are coming, which is a bit weird, right? But let's have a look from verse 20. What says there? Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they asked, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Now Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's the capital of Israel. The festival is the Jewish Passover festival. We know that because we're told that at the start of chapter 12. And in this Jewish festival, with its Jewish traditions and Jewish culture, we're supposed to take it as actually an important moment because Greeks, non-Jews, who are at that festival as well, want to see Jesus. Now, there's a map on the screen. There's Jerusalem. To the north is Bethsaida in Galilee. And these Greek people first come to Philip, who's from Bethsaida, asking, can we see Jesus? And on the map you can see Greece. And Greece was the dominant culture all around. It was the dominant language. Mostly Greek people followed Greek gods or maybe Roman gods, but Greek was the way of life everywhere. And now some Greeks want to meet Jesus. Now, moving on from this moment in John chapter 12, it wouldn't be many more years until when it becomes clear that Christian faith, faith in Jesus, is not quarantined to Jewish faith with Jewish temple and Jewish laws and Jewish festivals and only Jewish followers. Christianity is a worldwide, trans-ethnic, cross-cultural faith. In fact, the message of Jesus will rocket around this part of the world, in part because of the unifying spread of the Roman roads and the Greek language. So here is John chapter 12, verse 20. Could you sort of think, well, it's just a bit of a random moment. Lots of people want to see Jesus. Now some Greeks want to see Jesus. But unless you have Jewish heritage, these Greeks who want to meet Jesus is sort of a picture of you. The message of Jesus is getting out, you see. It can't be contained. Jesus is so good. He's so compelling. He's so attractive. People from any background and race and culture and nationality, they want Jesus as well. The Greeks are coming. Now, it actually is an important moment because it actually triggers Jesus to say something. Because it is a moment. It triggers Jesus to say that a moment, the moment, has arrived. He says, verse 23, check it out there. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. See, all through Jesus' public life, expectation on Jesus has been high. I mean, just before this moment, you can read it in chapter 12, but it's festival procession day in Jerusalem. Crowds are out, they're shouting, there's waving. Imagine, you know, good times for the kids. Everyone loves a parade. No streamers. They're actually using branches and they're calling out Jesus, the King of Israel. Expectation is high. Jesus will do great things now. Jesus will become someone great. And Jesus has now said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Well, let's now get to that word glorified. Glory sounds great, doesn't it? To be bathed in glory, to be given honor and glory. That was the expectation. You know, if Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel, Messiah, it's about time he showed us his glory. And God will glorify him. Glory is a very positive word. You know, I don't know if you follow soccer, A-League. You know, there's Melbourne Victory, Perth Glory. They are good names for winners. No team ever wants to be called suffering or death. But what we now see in Jesus' words, the road to Jesus' glory, in fact, part of his glory, is his death. It's his death. And Jesus talks about it, verse 29. Have a look there. In terms of, he uses the picture of wheat and its seed. Jesus is talking about the way of a seed. It needs to go into the earth. In that sense, it needs to die. Only with that death can many seeds, new life, emerge. So with Jesus, there is glory, there is resurrection, but there is no side route, there is no alternative path. What must come first is crucifixion. Now, like a seed, Jesus himself will be buried into the earth. There is the glory of him being raised to life, the new life he gives to others, but his glory is even in the road he takes. Jesus dies for us. Talk about bursting the bubble of expectation. You know, in other words, for the crowds, what a twisted, weird, upside down sort of glory is this. You know, you can think about a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure a whole bunch of us paid a lot of attention to that moment and the events around the Queen's passing. There's the funeral, right? There was that funeral. And that's now done with. And now we actually wait for the announcement of the King's coronation sometime next year. You know, sad funeral for her, celebratory coronation for him. Apparently those two things are very different, and they are, but with Jesus, it's all together and can't be separated. Jesus' coronation will only take place through his death. There's only one way for Jesus to be vindicated and honored and glorified, and he knows it too. He actually expresses so much anguish over what is to come. He must die. He must die. Now, today is Vision Sunday. We're going to talk about church. But I just want to say this to every single person here. Jesus is inviting you to follow him. It's an invitation to enjoy life, to have life to the full, to have great fruitfulness. But to have that, Jesus is effectively saying, it was my road to go, you must as well die. Jesus is wanting you and I to die. Have a look there, verse 25, where he says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. You know, when Jesus says anyone who hates their life, this is not depressive self-hatred of self-esteem. This is a type of self-hatred that we're willing to die to ourselves that we might have Jesus. This is Jesus calling on us to so radically reorientate our lives, reorder our lives, so we're not protecting ourselves, that we need safety, need security, but actually more than anything, we know we need Jesus. Now, this is death road, where first and foremost, the safety barriers that would keep us safe and protected, you know, I don't know, with family or money or popularity or job or comfort or friends, even those types of loss is worth it because we have Jesus. So come to Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Hate your life. Lose your life for Jesus. Travel the road of loss and sacrifice and death. Because in Jesus there is life. There's eternal good life that no one can snatch away. So lose your life to him. I hope no one today can accuse me of doing the old bait and switch, luring you with over-promising, you know, become a Christian and life becomes better, more wealth, more comfort, less conflict, less sickness, you know, as if Christian life is just like driving down a highway, you know, with the top down and the breeze in your hair on a sunny day. Life is now just so cruisy. No, it's more like traveling along death road. I'll give you two examples of how it might play out in the Christian life, the life of loss and sacrifice. First one, earlier on, we prayed for Keith and Marion Birchley, living in PNG. You know, they're empty nesters, right? For most of us, you know, empty nesters is a time when couples have a bit more me time. You know, get comfortable, maybe start thinking about planning for the grey nomad life. But instead, for Keith and Marion, they're now in Papua New Guinea, Port Moresby, teaching the Bible to uni students, facing the trauma of another attempted violent home invasion. So they're not comfortable. Keith and Marion are not seeking to love life, cling hard to it. Instead, they're in hot, polluted, asthma-inducing, dangerous Port Moresby, they're giving their life away because they follow Jesus. Here's a second example, and I've already wrote about it during this week, and I'm sure it's brought to your attention as well. The whole Essendon Football Club thing. You know, if you become a Christian, if you follow Jesus, the reality is you'll need to be wise about the reality that if you're a Christian, you might be deemed as unsuitable, offensive, dangerous. Or deem that just because you're part of a church that teaches a biblical ethic about sex and sexuality. I think now for a bunch of Christians, it's becoming more real in terms of how tenuous it could be. You know, in the workplace, in the corporate world, in the government department world. I realize I'm speaking from my safety bubble of just working within a church, right? So I know you're in more danger than me. That there could be real costs in terms of work, earning a living, because you're not about just loving life. You're going to need much courage and wisdom over the days ahead. So come to Jesus. Trust in him. Why? I can't promise it's going to be safe. I can't promise it's without risk. I can't promise you'll have all that others have. But check out the promise of Jesus. Let go of safety and protecting ourselves. Come to the glorified Jesus. Trust him. Throw your lot in with Jesus, who gave his life away for you and was raised to life, because he is the way to real, fruitful, abundant, good, eternal life. And I now come to the last point, but it's the point we're going to spend most of the time on today, because it's Vision Sunday and it's about the way for Christ Central. Now, all our regulars here will know I'm going to talk about specific things, and it was in the video before, for what might be for us in the suburb of Petrie, but also want to talk about where we've come from as a church. Now, back in 2007, we didn't have it written down like we do now, but our vision and prayer is to see a flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. But back then, it was still our motivating force to see more people come to know Jesus, who died, who gave his life at the cross, who is glorified. I want to show you the picture of some of those original people who helped launch Christ Central. Now, sadly, not everyone who was part of that original team was there for that photo day. But have a look at that photo. You know, you can see, you might be able to spot some now teenagers and young adults who look very cute. And some of the adults are looking a fair bit younger back then too, aren't they? Now, I haven't given them any warning today. I hope they can forgive me for this. But if anyone was there for that first Sunday when Christ Central began, if you're in that photo or not, would you mind standing up just for everyone to see? There we go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You can take a seat. Thank you. Now, I want to mention the type of sacrifices that those first people made. They were not out to preserve and stay safe, but take a risk and give life away. Yes, they are smiley, happy people in the photo, but still we're talking about the death road. See, most of this group left a church that they were part of, maybe 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, their whole life they grew up in. They left a church with many friends and family. Some had to now drive, actually not closer, but further away to help establish a church where we're going to preach the gospel. For some of those people, they had teenagers, but we as a church didn't have a teenage ministry. Now, that was a huge cost. We're still setting up our gear here, but this is, can I tell you people, this is like the Hilton. This is like the Hilton compared to where we once were, that little dinky classroom for 5, 6 years. The sacrifice to see growth and fruitfulness emerge. In fact, I could ask anyone I want to ask him, here's the next exercise. I want to ask anyone who was not there in 2007, but has been part of our time in that classroom. If you remember Dinky Classroom, just over that way, could you please stand up? There's sort of a new group of people. There you go. All right, thank you very much. Please take a seat. Now, can I just say, now, good times they were. You know, the sacrifice of people back then, it was such a little classroom that on some Sundays, a good number of Sundays, people just had to stand. Now, if you're complaining about my long sermons now, imagine just standing for the full length, basically, of church. And that's the way it was. The point I'm talking about is the story of Christ Central has been the story of cost and sacrifice and risk. But that's the way of Jesus. It's the way of Christ. It's the way of the cross. It's our calling. Only through death does life emerge. Now, I've seen people come into our church, you know, all along, and people serve and sacrifice in all sorts of ways. It's playing out today that others might come to know Christ and be his disciples. In the story of Christ Central, would people mind actually standing up now if they were here when there was only one gathering here in this building on a Sunday? If you were here before there was 8:30, 10:30, could you please stand up if you remember those days? There you go. All right, terrific. Please take a seat. I think the exercise is finished, okay? Now, I remember as we moved to two gatherings, we all felt the cost. We didn't know what it'd be like. You know, we're sort of running out of space here. It would have been comfortable just to stay as we were. We knew everyone. Wouldn't miss old friends. So to actually go through that, it actually felt like real loss. So that from little death, there would be new life. We knew we had to do it because we just couldn't let the size of a room actually restrict our mission in wanting to see a flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. One last group of people, actually, I forgot to say, one last group of people, if your experience of Christ Central has been, and we'll just have this group, if your experience has only been 8:30 or 10:30, could you please now stand up? There you go. Awesome. Thank you very much. Dying to self, sacrifice, so that life may come. We're actually all part of this story. We're all part of the story of what God has been doing. If we were about ourselves, we would never move, would never change, would never risk, would never do new things. But it's not our history, and we don't want it to be our future either. If we just preserve, it's not the path, it's not the road that Christ is calling on us to take. You know, from death comes life. And we've been thinking about the north edge of Brisbane. I hope you enjoyed the video before. Here's a map as well. As we know, the north edge of Brisbane does not consist of just all big open green space, as if that's what the map's conveying there. Like the video, the north edge of Brisbane, it's places, it's people. The north edge of Brisbane is our neighbours, it's our workmates, it's our communities. The reason Christ Central was launched, the reason why we exist, is that our neighbours and workmates and communities might meet Jesus, that we would be a loving, worshipful, serving, Bible-teaching church, that more people become disciples of Jesus. I want us to see something else about the north edge of Brisbane, and that is other Presbyterian churches on the north edge of Brisbane. Of course, there are many other churches on the north edge, but these are the churches that we particularly share a relationship with, that we have a connection with. We want these churches to play a part to reach into the north edge of Brisbane. The reality is, though, they're at various states of health, various levels of energy, resources, humanly speaking, ability to make an impact into their communities. This was very much the case when 2 years ago, on the cusp of closing down, North Pine Presbyterian Church in Petrie merged with Christ Central. They've had God's people meet there for over 100 years, but it got to be a teeny tiny congregation of faithful men and women, and for the last couple of years now, there's been no church gathering there. We'll be narrowing in on Petrie in a moment, but I just want to give you an update on some recent news for other Presbyterian churches on the north edge of Brisbane. That is, we're having conversations with a couple of those churches about resource needs, about how to help, particularly in the area of youth ministry. Two churches have actually come to us separately and have asked the question, could Christ Central Youth for a period of time, for a transition step, be their youth group? They've asked, can we send our teenagers your way when we need to keep on sort of building ministry for those families? And we're very open to that. We want to help. We want to share resources. And it's now sort of confirmed with one of them that they definitely want to go that way. In fact, it's the church furthest away, Caboolture. We're not expecting a great influx of teenagers from Caboolture. In fact, they actually don't have any teenagers yet. But they think that we might be their best shot for a Bible-teaching, gospel-centered, engaging youth ministry for the time being while they continue to build. It might get confirmed that the other Prezi church might also now definitely wants to go in that direction as well. But we want to do these things. We want to make room, offer resources, give support. Maybe they're just little sacrifices, but we help gospel fruit emerge in other churches on the north edge of Brisbane. But now I want to invite you to consider another step that we would take as a church. It's another moment of risk. It's another moment to step away from safety. It's not preserving what we have, but die to self. Death road, that life, eternal life might be had as more people come to Christ and grow in him. And we're talking about, as we've been hearing, something new where North Pine Presbyterian once was, think of it like this, local church for local mission. Christ Central, Eaton's Hill and Petrie. This is actually about, it's about not expecting people should always come to us, but we're going to make some effort to get closer to them. In fact, during the week, I had a call from the Petrie State School chaplain. That school's just directly across the road. They want to talk about opportunities and what can be done. You know, there is opportunity to be about Jesus, to give and serve that others might have life. So today it's about giving you information, but also inviting you to come on a journey to pray and plan and sacrifice and pray some more that we might be a healthy church in two places. We are multiple congregations now, aren't we? Two. This is multiple sites. Two. And in fact, a way of thinking about this is going multi-site. A bunch of questions came in the lead up to today. I'm hoping I'm answering them as I go along. But one of them was, why multi-site? Why not a complete new church plant, just like Eaton's Hill once was? That's a good question. It's worth noting that our version of going multi-site is pretty unique. It's sort of launching from our rental space at Eaton's Hill into the land and property we have at Petrie. That is where our church offices are as well. I think that could bode well for sort of connection and unity. But really, as the elders and the staff have thought into multi-site, we know two locations, it can't be to build an empire. It can't be just to grow a brand. You know, that stinks of self-promotion, protection, not giving ourselves away. Being multi-site in all its complexities is so that we would be better together. Better together in sharing resources, better together in real support within the pastoral team, better together in a united approach to teaching and training and programs. In going multi-site, we want to be used more effectively by God as we pray for that flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. In terms of what it would look like in practice, here's a bunch of things. One church, one vision, one eldership, one budget, one staff team, one Bible talk series with local relationships in the gathering of Eaton's Hill and Petrie, and local mission too. Someone asked another good question. That was, why are you using this term campus? It's another good question. Because it's a way of talking about multi-site. Just to clear up our language here, you know, right now up at Petrie, there's no church there. There's an empty building that we've been renovating and making better. Church is the gathering of God's people around the word preached. Here at Christ Central, we do use the language of 8:30 church, 10:30 church. We could say the church at Petrie, if God would bring that about. But campus helps us convey two locations. And in these locations, we'd want them to be a hub and a launch pad for loving relationships, for serving, for laying down our lives for Jesus and others. The word campus, it sort of conveys a sense of movement and community and activity. Other questions have been, well, what time on Sunday will Petrie happen? Another question, will people be able to go back and forth on a Sunday between the campuses of Petrie and Eaton's Hill? Well, the time of day will help answer that, because we're looking at Petrie also being in the morning. Now, while a complete time slot, new time slot in the afternoon or evening might do something, we think doing mornings with the intergenerational community of kids and teenagers and young adults and those who are older is so positive. And we want that to continue in another location as well. Now, as soon as you think about the prospect, it makes it very real, isn't it, that for growth and life, the journey is also one of loss. Because we won't see people like we used to. In the story of Christ Central, this would be our biggest change. So perhaps the biggest amount of grief as well. Laying down our lives, going down death road, not staying safe, not staying protected, going the way of Jesus and the cross so that fruitfulness and life might come. Not only change and grief of not seeing people like we used to, but it's going to mean all of us stepping forward in new ways. We want you to serve and give and be like Jesus. We need healthy teams across Eaton's Hill and Petrie. Here's a picture that just gives a selection of the various teams to see the impacts of this change. It's trying to show 8:30, 10:30 Eaton's Hill, and then something like 9:30 Petrie. We'll have one youth group on a Friday night, but all our Sunday morning teams need to grow, be equipped, train new leaders, be ready to multiply. We'd be sharing and uniting in a bunch of ways. We have one midweek ministry venue at Petrie to share. We'd be running and training seminars for everyone. We look forward to a church weekend away all together, but eventually would see growth groups matched with either Eaton's Hill or Petrie. As lead pastor, I've got to say, I'm going to see myself traveling between Eaton's Hill and Petrie pretty regularly, teaching and giving leadership for the one church that we have. To take this step together, it's not about mother church, daughter church, original offshoot. This is two campuses of one church. There's that language at campus again. But together that we get on with the mission in serving towards seeing a flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. In terms of how we might move towards multi-site, we have to grow our teams. We need leadership capacity as well. We need leadership capacity amongst our elders and staff, and have another campus, we believe we need to employ another pastor. A pastor who can do some preaching at Petrie would give some leadership to the campus, but also be a pastor across our church. A new campus pastor would be a very important prayer point for us. We need to give financially to make this possible, and we need to find the right person. Right now, we don't know who that person will be. It's going to be very important that we get a good fit. serving the campus, but serving the whole church. Coming under my leadership and the leadership of the elders, we're talking about launching Petrie, perhaps in the second half of next year, but we're going to have to pray and trust in God for his timing. We want, you know, that new campus pastor to be with us for a time to build relationships and build trust. And if you know of anyone we should talk to, let us know, okay? Are you feeling like you've just got the fire hose treatment? There's a lot of info here. For sure, lots of things to process. And I'm the first one to admit, change is hard. It's like a little death. But change can be worth it. And here at Christ Central, our story has been we want to die to ourselves and live for Christ. And here is another moment that would be coming up. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." That's the way of Jesus. It's to be our way as well. I'm getting towards the end now, but I want to highlight where the opportunities are here for us to sacrifice and not protect ourselves, but lose our lives, that there might be abundant harvest of eternal life. So we're talking about loss and sacrifice here. Here's one. The natural process of change and grief and uncertainty, that's going to be hard. More hard for some than others. That's pretty normal. There's another way we can't protect ourselves in all this, and it's the thing called PCQ receivership. We have this cloud over property, which probably won't be resolved for a couple of years. So we're going to launch out into this without any surefire guarantee about what will happen to the Petrie property. To start something at Petrie will continue with a level of uncertainty of what might happen. That's just reality. That's a bit hard. There's a real reality, the impacts on our relationships, the way we won't see everyone like we used to. And initially we're going to look smaller than previously, that we would want God to bring the growth. There's a need for more people to serve and serve in new ways. This just could be the time that we need you to step into new ways of service, new ways of leadership, being trained in leadership. There's also giving financially, giving generously so that we can have another pastor with us. And I'll now finish just with next steps. We don't know the exact timing, if it's going to be late next year or a little bit more, but still we need to start moving. And what are our next steps? Well, firstly, your own personal decision. You know, about, you know, I'm sure you're already thinking this out already. You know, will you be at Petrie? Will you be at Eaton's Hill? I want to invite you to not be automatic in your thinking based on drive time. Don't be automatic in your thinking in terms of comfort. Yes, local mission is important. I've already said that. But it's about die to self. So it's going to be about where we can serve, where there's need, how we might see Eaton's Hill grow, how we might see Petrie grow. Without making any decisions, please await for conversations to begin. We might ask you, will you drive past Eaton's Hill to go to Petrie? We might ask you, will you drive past Petrie to be part of Eaton's Hill? So that's about costly, laying down our life decisions we make that life may come. The next step is actually about let's keep on going with mission now. We don't put being about Christ on pause until multi-site begins. We don't pray for a flood of lifelong disciples once we have Petrie and Eaton's Hill. So mission is now. And it will continue to be now. You know, Hope Explored is coming up. Please pray. Please pray for Hope Explored. Put it in your prayer list of things. Pray for the team. Pray for those who would come. Pray for your own friends and family, neighbours and work colleagues and sport club mates. Invite them along. Hope Explored is excellent. It's a great way to invite others to check out God and Jesus. Let's take the opportunities that are now for mission. Another step is prayer. We need to be in prayer for this. We've got another mission prayer night coming up. You'll hear more about soon enough. Be a great thing to come along and pray for all of this. But even today, if anyone wants to come back during morning tea for a time of prayer, there's just going to be a prayer time here this morning just to pray for all this. So I invite you, if you'd like, to be part of that even today. Another next step, conversations. Conversations will be something that begins within teams. What preparation needs to happen for multiplication to take place? One more step, and that would be really helpful to take. If you're broadly in favour of what you're proposing to do, it'd be really helpful to let, you know, any of the elders or the staff know about this. Please talk to them. Let them know that's your view. On the same token, if you have questions, you have concerns, we need to hear that as well. Again, talk to any of our elders, our staff, but also after today, our Vision Sunday survey form is still open. It's still there online. We'll remind you about this again during the week. If you've got more questions out of this, then we want to hear from you. Any comments that you have, we'll get that out as well. I'll finish with this on Vision Sunday. The hour of Jesus' glorification was his death for us. Yes, there was resurrection, there was life, but the root was loss and sacrifice. And he calls on us to follow him. Follow him into that is the way of Christian discipleship. Little deaths all the way along, losing ourselves so that there'd be more fruit, life, growth. The story of Christ Central is God at work in people that they would be giving themselves in service and sacrifice. And if you're part of Christ Central, then you're part of that story. And we're now talking about becoming Eaton's Hill and Petrie. We need to proceed carefully and wisely and prayerfully. But no matter what, we as a church, we just can't be about preservation, protection, no risk, no loss. That's not how the kingdom grows and fruit and life comes. Jesus calls on us to hate our lives, to lose our lives, go the way of death. That's Jesus calling on us today to serve and sacrifice, go his way, and it's worth it. Because what can then flow is abundant, rich, good life. Not just that we would have life, but that others would have life. That would be our prayer, and that is actively what we would seek to do as a church together, to see a flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ Jesus, the King who came to lay down his life. Thank you that for his obedience and his submission, that he faced the anguish of the cross, death, his own loss and sacrifice. But that was his glory, that you would glorify him in that, that through his death there was resurrection. Father, we praise you for Jesus, our Saviour and King, and help us to be people who would follow Jesus, that would follow him into death, that would be those disciples who are willing to lose our lives, hate our lives, knowing that Christ is worth it. And help us as a church. Father, please lead our church, guide our church over these days ahead. Father, indeed, that for all of us, that we might be willing and wanting to lay down our lives, not protect, not preserve, not be no risk, that we could do with the power of your Spirit at work in our lives, that we would be doing the hard thing to lay down our lives, and do the costly thing so that life, abundant fruit might emerge. So work in us for this end, for your glory. Again, give us wisdom, give us hearts of sacrifice and mission in the gospel as we contemplate the future of Petrie and Eaton's Hill. We pray that indeed that you would provide, and to your glory there would be a great kingdom harvest. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.